everyone. Welcome to this week's Persuasion, Influence, Negotiation, Motivation Call, whatever you want to call that. My name is Kurt Mortensen. In August, if you can believe it. I believe today's August 5th. Welcome to the call. Those doing live, those doing the replay, appreciate you being on the call today. And just for those that are new, just a quick review. Spend 15, 20 minutes on a tool that you can use this week. And then we open up for questions, not only on the call. Take those first, but if there's other things you're running into, you want a little feedback, that's what we're here for. Just quick, get it in, get something that you can work on, because that's where the real progress happens. So if you've been staying tuned with us the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about change. Now, it doesn't matter if you want to change yourself or change somebody else, the formula is pretty much the same. And that's true with a lot of laws of persuasion, especially when you get to the psychology of motivation that we talked about in week one, is that do you want to change someone to use your product or service? Do you want to change their mind on network marketing? Do you want to change their mind on how they feel about their home going into foreclosure? Do you want to change their mind about selling their home? Do you want to change your own mind about being healthier, losing weight, getting up earlier? It's the same. It doesn't matter. The formula is the same. So I'm trying to use both examples, and if there's certain industries or things that you're running into, by all means, you're more than welcome to interject, have a question. That's what this is all about. So a quick review of what we've been talking about. There are four critical elements needed for change. Again, whether it's buy a product or service or change a habit that you have, it is the same. The first one we talked about a couple weeks ago, we talked about motivation. If there's no motivation, there's no change. And, you know, the way you motivate yourself, it's a little is similar to other people, but as I can interject here, not the same as teenagers necessarily. Let me explain something real fast, because I get a lot of questions on this, because there's a different, when somebody knows you and they've lived with you, there's a different, it's kind of a different dynamic there, but understand something about children and teenagers, about the human brain. See, the brain matures from the back to the front. And the very front of the brain is something we call the frontal lobe. You've probably heard that term before. And the frontal lobe is responsible for consequences for your decisions, what's going to happen in the future, the decision-making process. What we're finding out is the brain is not mature until about 24, 25. So your children, your teenagers, you can tell them you can make decisions for them, not that it'll work, but they don't have a frontal lobe. They can't grasp that if they spent 5 hours playing Nintendo that it's not going to help them finish their homework. They can't grasp if they get a tattoo on their neck, it might affect them for the rest of their lives, because with teenagers and younger kids, it's more about the now. And that's kind of a tangent that's important to know about motivation. So the first thing we talked about is motivation. The second thing we talked about last week was having that knowledge. You have to have the tools. You can ask your teenagers to get better grades. You can ask people to do better. You can, maybe you want to lose weight. But if you don't know how, if you don't have the knowledge, it doesn't really matter. Those actual tools. We talked about personal development. We even talked about tapping into your purpose and passion, because that's part of your knowledge, too, to know where you want to spend your time, to know where you want to spend your energy. We talked a little bit about why people are unhappy, and that's a big piece of it. But they have to have the tools and knowledge. That's number two. Number three we're going to focus on this week is fear. People don't change because of fear. Fear can be real. It can be perceived. The challenge is for most people, the pain. Let me explain this. The pain of not changing is easier than the pain of changing. Or the known pain is easier to handle than the unknown pain. Let me give you an example. The known pain of going to a job that you hate, dealing with a boss that yells at you, is you can handle that because you know what that feels like. You know that you don't like it, but you can handle it because you have been handling it. The unknown pain of quitting your job and being an entrepreneur and doing real estate or network marketing or internet or whatever it is, that is. You don't know what that pain involves, and so there's a lot of fear there. What does that cost to change? And so when you're asking someone to change to your product or service or change their opinion about you or opinion about anything, you have to look, you know, what is the behavior? Why do people do what they do? That's what people miss out. They try to scare people into doing things and using fear. And you have to ask, okay, is it okay to use fear? When you're trying to change somebody, is it okay to use fear? And I get mixed reactions here. I'll just put it to you this way. Is it okay for a dentist to say, only floss the teeth you want to keep? Okay. Now, fear is a misused and overused. And I'll give you a formula here in a little bit on how to use fear. Most people use it the wrong way, but in the right way it can be very effective, because some people have given up on their goals and their dreams, and sometimes fear is the only thing that really works out. So you have to really look into human behavior. What are the reasons people do what they do? And that's a big part of getting someone to change. If you're looking at somebody, a teenager that's on drugs, for example, what is the underlying behavior that causes that? Well, probably their group of friends. Maybe happens late at night. And then you have to look at, what is their fear? Well, the behavior is they're with their friends, it's late at night. The fear is maybe they'll lose their friends. Maybe the fear is of criticism. Maybe if it's losing weight, your behavior is late night at TV, you go get the thing about ice cream while you're watching a movie or sports. What is the fear? A lot of people have the fear of maybe they can't change, the fear of dieting, they can only bad food or foods that are drab and don't taste very good. Or if you're trying to sell a photocopier, just say you sell photocopiers to a company, and it's a no-brainer. Theirs isn't very good. You have a better copier. It's cheaper. It lasts longer. It has a better warranty. It is a no-brainer, but they won't change. So you're racking your head, and so you're thinking, okay, what is the behavior here? Well, the behavior in this corporation, it's easier not to change because that's the status quo. You have to go through all the paperwork. That's the behavior there. Maybe the fear is the coworker saying don't rock the boat, or the boss might criticize them for a bad mistake, make them look bad. It's easier not to. Those are all things we have to go into. So let's talk about that fear, because it holds a lot of people back from changing. It could be a simple thing, from fear of criticism to fear of rocking the boat to fear of failure. Now, fear is an interesting emotion. Fear is anxiety or tension caused by, it can be caused by danger, apprehension, harm, pain, any of those things. Now, here's the thing. Fear can be real or imagined. You can have somebody that has a fear of snakes, or fear, let's do the fear of flying. I fly a lot. A lot of people have the fear of flying, and I can go through all the logic in the world. It's not going to matter. There's other issues involved there, and we'll talk about that. And see, what fear does, it motivates you away from something unpleasant, something that could hurt you. Now, fear can be a good thing, too. But fear persuades us to do many things we might not do otherwise. Now, fear can be used in life insurance, airbags, home alarms. Some people purchase guns out of fear. Fear doesn't work every time. We have to use other types of motivators. But the key here is the proper dose of fear. So let me give you a little bit more about this, and I'm going to give you a formula to really understand fear and understand human nature. Now, if you look at yourself, you were only born with two fears. Yes, you. All of us. A newborn baby was born with two fears. We were all born universally around the world as human beings with the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. So if this is your own life or somebody else's life, you have to remember that whatever they're afraid of, it's a learned fear. So the good news is it's learned. That means you can unlearn it. You look at the top fears out there, there's a fear of failure, the fear of success. Isn't that an interesting one? Fear of success. I mean, people afraid of a nice car or a nice home. It's more than that. It's the fear of maintaining that success, or sometimes the fear of what people will think of them, because most people say negative things about wealthy people, and that's a whole other lesson of itself. You have the fear of criticism, the fear of public speaking. All these fears we've learned. We're so concerned what other people think that a lot of times making the decision whether it be real estate or especially the network marketing, what other people think is a big driver of that fear. The fear of public speaking is higher, they say, than the fear of death. And that's why the comedian Jerry Seinfeld says that people would rather be in the casket than given the eulogy, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's all about that programming. And for a lot of people, just facing their fears is a big part of this. I was working with a lady doing some coaching on public speaking, doing persuasive presentations, and she was just nervous. I mean, she'd get blotchy and red, and you could just tell she was nervous. I'm like, whoa, 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 let's back up. Where did you learn this fear? And she couldn't remember. And I said, no, think about it tonight and come back tomorrow. Where did you learn this fear? And she thought about it when she was in third grade. She was walking across the stage at the school auditorium. The auditorium was full of kids, and she was going to give a little presentation. And on the way to the pulpit, she tripped and fell. Now, what do you think the reaction is for elementary school students when someone trips and falls? Anybody want to guess? They laugh. That's what they do, they laugh. And it just, and so every time she thought about speaking, that fear came back. And I said, okay, let's just imagine yourself sitting there. And she sat in the auditorium as an adult, watching herself, pretending to watch herself. She tripped and she laughed also, which kind of changed perspective here. This is huge. And part of that comes back to the fear of criticism. It was Napoleon Hill that said, the fear of criticism robs man of his initiative, destroys his power of imagination, limits his individuality, and takes away his self-reliance. And you have to understand that about people. They're so scared to change because of what other people think, and you need to be able to handle that. So, lesson number one today, I want you to think about this, just the overriding factor here. Number one, it's okay to use fear. Use it sparingly and use it in the right situations, and make sure it has these four elements. So I hope you're taking notes here. Sparingly and with this formula. So, number one, if you're going to use fear, make sure it's unpleasant. It's got to rub them the wrong way. When you try to scare teenagers of cancer 40 years down the road, it's really not that unpleasant. It doesn't do much to them. Now, if you took them to a cancer ward where they saw somebody suffering from cancer, that's a whole different experience. But the image of what you're trying to bring up must be unpleasant. And that actually works for a lot of people. To people with diabetes, for example. The teenagers, they won't check their blood. They don't care. You take them to a dialysis center because if you're a diabetic, it can ruin your liver. And they see these people on these machines. That's more effective than any lecture in the world. So the fear you're bringing up must be unpleasant, be some type of pain or destruction or grief. So that's the thing. It needs to be unpleasant in their mind. That is a huge one. Not graduating, going to college, maybe that's not unpleasant to them. Maybe you need to take them to someone that's working minimum wage at a place that's not that appealing to them. That would be more powerful. Needs to be unpleasant. Number two, it needs to be imminent. If I'm trying to get you scared of the potential asteroids that are going to hit the Earth, and so, you know, you got to have a shelter, you got to get food, the asteroids are coming, you got to do this and this, it doesn't scare you. There's no fear there because, you know, what are the chances of that? They don't feel very vulnerable. It doesn't feel like it's going to happen. So, first of all, number one's unpleasant. Number two, imminent. It's got to be not 2 years down the road. What's going to happen now? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen today? Number three, you need to provide a solution. You're not just scaring people. You're not just building fear for the fun of it. You need to provide a solution. What are you recommending? What are you proposing? What are you proposing to get rid of that? If someone's going into foreclosure, you're the solution. Now, that's unpleasant to be kicked out of their house. Remember, number one was unpleasant. Number two, it's imminent. Bank's knocking on their door. They have 3 weeks to do something. And you're there to provide a solution. Or if it was network marketing. You know, unpleasant, they might lose their job. I mean, if tonight's a comedy, that could be imminent. Here's a solution. Work at home. Spend more time with your family. You need to have a solution. Too many people scare people with fear, and they don't provide a concrete solution. They think they do, but they don't provide the step-by-step of something they need to do. Number four, which most people don't even think about, is they need to feel capable. So number four is capable. They need to feel capable of doing what you're asking them to do. So you've provided a solution, but if they don't feel capable, it's not going to provide any change. If you were wanted a teenager to do better in school, to get better grades, and so, well, they need to do that. College is around the corner. You maybe didn't provide a solution, but they might not feel capable of studying for tests. They might not feel capable of doing what you're asking them to do. In network marketing, they might not feel capable of talking to their family and friends, or selling, or persuading. In real estate, they might feel capable of doing what you've asked them to do for the paperwork and different things. They might not even know what that is. They don't feel capable of picking up the phone and talking to those people. Very, very important. So let me go over those four things that you need to include fear. And that's what I want you to work on this week. As you've talked to people and they're not changing, try using a little fear. So first of all, number one, I mentioned it was unpleasant. Number two, imminent. Number three, solution. And number four, they need to feel capable. And number two especially, it's got to feel imminent. Because people, if it's not imminent, they're going to put it off. That's human nature. If taxes aren't due next week, we're going to put it off. challenge many times with life insurance. Well, that's down the road. But if you have a story that paints a picture that is imminent, you don't know what's going to happen, then it changes your ability to use that type of fear. So when you conclude a little fear, it helps them change. But then you also, number two, you have to help them overcome any type of fears that they have. So it's kind of a two-edged sword there. You could be building a little fear, but on the other hand, you have to help overcome some of the basic fears, like fear of criticism, fear of failure, fear of whatever, fear rocking the boat, whatever it is. That goes a long way with change. Okay. Any questions so far?
No.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, at any time, just questions. Let me give you a few more things, and you guys can think of some questions as far as the application. I want you to remember, with fear, people are moving away from something. Fear's been used a little too much, but when you put these four elements in, it drives people to action. To review, remember, fear is short-term, but it's better than inactivity. Some people are just motivated by fear. That's just how they are. So, number one, you're looking for any fears that are holding them back. For the most part, it's probably going to be fear of criticism or fear of failure. You have to help them work past that. And then if you want to use fear to help them make those changes, make sure it has that four-part element. One last thing. If you're helping somebody change their habits, or you're trying to change your habits, I just want to point out here that habits you can't really change. You need to replace them with something else. That's part of the change process, is replace them. Don't just stop cold turkey. If you have a bad habit of, what's a bad habit here I'm thinking of? Maybe listening to the radio in your car, you replaced it with CDs, that sort of thing. So that's important. But here's a big thing that holds a lot of people back when we talk about fear. Is, and this is true with anybody, is that when people feel overwhelmed, I've mentioned this slightly in the past, but when you feel overwhelmed or your prospect feels overwhelmed and there's so much information, a confused mind says no, there's just too much information and they will do nothing. So let's use a personal example. If you wanted to write a book, for example, and a lot of people do, but most people never start because they think about writing the book, it's just too overwhelming. Or let's say I've been on the road, and I've been did a 3-day seminar. I get back, and there's a long list of things for my family, for my children, for my wife. My neighbor needs a favor. There's things I need to do with the business. My publisher's got things I need to do. There's just so many things screaming at me. There's so many things I need to do, I end up taking a nap. Okay. I don't know if you can relate with that, but let me talk about the brain. When the brain feels overwhelmed, it turns off and you do nothing. And so if you can see that in their eyes, if you can see that they don't know what to do next, your goal, and this helps a lot with change, you can either for yourself or other people, is to break it down into smaller, manageable, bite-sized pieces. And it's much easier for change, and that goes along with helping them feel capable, because when they say, okay, here are the 72 things you need to do, or even the 5 things you need to do, that might be too much. Start them off with the first one. Get them started. Make it easy. A little bit at a time. Now, it makes perfect sense for you, because you live in that world. What you're asking them to do makes perfect sense because you do it all the time. But it's the first time you've asked them to do that. Maybe the first time they've ever heard it, and it's a little confusing, maybe a little overwhelming, they're not sure what to do, and they'll politely say, yeah, I'll do that, and you'll never hear from them again. So just make sure that the average person understands what you're talking about, and they can do it, because the moment they feel overwhelmed or confused, there is no more persuasion. They've turned off, and they are going to run away. So to review, your key this week is to use those four things to generate a little more movement, a little more fear, and that is the third part of getting people to change. That is number three. So next week we'll do number four, and to review the three we've talked about, number one is motivation. We talked about the knowledge last week, and this week we talked about fear. With that, use that this week. Work on that one thing this week. Are there any questions about what we talked about today or anything else you're running into? All right. I was checking my email here. I've got an email, and you guys can think of it on the live class. They wanted me to go through a scenario with the four parts of fear. And that's fine. We can do that. Anybody have a product or service they want to throw out that we can use?
Personal development.
Okay, personal development. Now, that is a tough one because most people don't think they have issues there. And it's not concrete, say, like a photocopier or a network marketing business. But, you know, I'm passionate about it. I believe in it. So, you're selling personal development, which is important. So the first thing is that if you're going to use fear for them to use personal development, you need to bring up something that's unpleasant. What could be unpleasant about not learning personal development?
How much money you could lose?
Okay, it's unpleasant to where you know that you're going to lose money. People can double and triple their income in a couple of years through a personal development program, through a coach, through a mentor, through CDs, through books. That's important. So they're losing money. And if they're not learning and growing, they could lose their job. So that's kind of unpleasant to them. And the big one there, it's costing them money. They need to realize up front, lack of personal development is costing them money, that most people take, well, highly successful people take 5 to 10% of their income and reinvest it every year in personal development programs. So that is unpleasant. Now, it needs to be imminent. They might say, yeah, I need to do that, and someday I'll buy the program. How would you fix that? How would you make it imminent? Hey, go on.
I'm drawing a blank.
Well, imminent could be their competition is using it, right? They're learning it right now. It could be, you know, the economy's bad right now, and it's the people who have these skills are the ones that are going to keep their jobs and keep their income. That could be, you know, imminent. It's happening right now. So it needs to be imminent. And something there, too, with imminent, too, could be a special offer you have that day when we talk about, you know, urgency and scarcity. That could be part of the imminent part. Then there's the solution. I think that's pretty easy. The solution's your product, right? Here's the solution right here. It's a 5-step program. This is what it is. And then the key here is they need to feel capable. Now, if you have CDs or other type of personal development, how would people feel not capable of doing that? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, they would, because maybe they've bought CDs in the past and didn't use them. They probably have a stack of books they've always wanted to read, but they haven't. So how could you make them feel capable? Maybe it's a weekly call where you're going over their goals with them. Maybe you help them say, look, what we're talking about here is 5 minutes a day. You listen to this audio clip. It goes to your email account. It's that simple, and then here are the rewards. And make them feel capable of doing that. That is a huge piece. So that would be the four parts with the personal development. Any other questions out there? I got one coming in. Let me pull it up here. I'm talking about the fear of criticism. Now, they want to know more about overcoming the fear of criticism and why it's so prevalent. I mean, I think it comes back to the school system and our parents, that we, human nature, we hate to be criticized, we hate to be put down. And when we teach millionaire psychology, the ability to follow your heart, we kind of talked about that last week, following your heart is such a critical thing, and most people don't. It's just ingrained in us. But the main thing with you and your personal life is learning to follow your heart, follow your passion, but then also helping other people with the fear of criticism know that what's the flip side. Maybe they're not going to criticize. They're going to get criticized more if they don't do it, like that photocopier example. Look, if you don't do it, you know, people will be more upset because you didn't make a decision, you didn't do it. That's one way to do it. And then the other one is just paint the picture is, you know, does it really matter that much what other people think? And when you kind of logically go through that progression, most people agree that, you know, that's right, I probably shouldn't be worried about it. But deep down, that's an ingrained, you know, and it takes time. It doesn't just disappear overnight. But that fear of failure and that fear of criticism holds a lot of people back from joining your company, doing business with you, or doing other things. It makes a huge difference when you can paint the picture as far as, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. Any other questions live before I look at my email account here? are available at persuasioniq.com/KurtCall, KURTCALL. They keep them posted there if you want to listen to some of those other calls. We're going to go over number 4 next week in the process of making that change. So you'll have the full formula to be able to do that. Getting more into, you know, why people worry and a few other things, mental programming, that's a big piece of it. But this week, remember, crank up the fear. It's okay to use it when the right way, because some people will never change without it. People that have given up on their goals, people that life has sucked the energy out of them because what's happened to them, a lot of times it's only going to be the fear that motivates them. And as when you motivate and change people, that's critical to your success. All right, last call for questions. Anybody? Thanks for being on the call. Use that this week, and then next week we'll go on to number 4. All right. Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night. You bet.